the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto-related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
You can now use Bitcoin as a route to getting a second passport. Portugal's Golden Visa program has been a popular way for South Africans to obtain residency and eventually citizenship in another country. The Golden Visa rules have been changed over the years. Initially, it allowed visa applicants to invest in property as a way to secure residency. In 2022, the rules were changed to direct investment away from more popular areas such as Lisbon, Porto, and most of the coastal areas. Alternatively, you had to invest in a fund which invested in Portuguese companies. Another interesting development announced recently is the prospect of investing in a Bitcoin fund as a way to EU citizenship. This was announced in July by Alessandro Palombo, who is the co-founder and CEO of Unbound Fund. You have to invest 500,000 euros worth of Bitcoin, but for many, that may be a preferable option to investing in a private equity fund, particularly where you have little control over the performance of the underlying companies. Well, to help us understand this, we're joined by Katie Ananina of Plan B Passport. Hi, Katie. Thanks very much for joining us. This is quite a recent and interesting development. A lot of people from South Africa have obtained EU citizenship over the years using Portugal's Golden Visa program. Now you can do it investing in Bitcoin to get EU citizenship. Maybe explain what has happened here.
Thank you, Kieran. I'm happy to be here. Yes, so as you mentioned, the Golden Visa rules have evolved, and right now we do stand at the point where you can only invest in a fund. The at least 60% of the fund must be invested in local companies in Portugal in order to qualify investors for the Golden Visa. Well, this fund is no different. This fund invests in a local company in Portugal, but the only thing that Portugal does is holding Bitcoin ETF. So I serve a lot of Bitcoiners who are looking for a second citizenship, second residency elsewhere. And the one big problem they always had is opportunity cost, right? In order to invest in a citizenship and residency, they have to sell Bitcoin. And knowing that we have this best asset there is, they just don't want to deal with the opportunity cost. So that's what this fund solves. Yes, you give up self-custody of Bitcoin, but you invest it, you still have the price exposure to Bitcoin through a Bitcoin ETF, while also obtaining a Golden Visa and then further on citizenship. So that's just a fund doing a really smart thing of solving the opportunity cost problem.
All right, take us through some of the logistics. How does one invest? What are the costs? Can you withdraw your Bitcoin at some point? And do you have to invest in a particular fund?
Yes. So right now, Unbound is the only fund who offers that. So if you are interested in Bitcoin price exposure and Bitcoin ETF is the compromise you're willing to do, Unbound is your only option right now. The way it works is step one, you have to obtain a local bank account and a local tax number in Portugal. Once that's done, you transfer fiat into your Portugal bank account. That's a necessary step. So you can't just send Bitcoin to an Unbound fund. That's not going to work. They specifically doing it, the Golden Visa, specifically to bring the capital in the country. So you move your funds into the Portugal bank account. Then you sign up for the fund. You invest 500,000 euro into the fund. And on this basis, you apply for a Golden Visa. Now, Unbound Fund, one of the founders, has done multiple Golden Visa funds previously that invest in real estate. So she's not new to that. And Alessandro, as you mentioned, he's been in crypto for years. So there's a beautiful synergy going on there. I've done lots of research because I'm very precise with what programs I offer to my audience. So I've done my research and did feel comfortable moving on with this Golden Visa option. Right now, the Portugal Immigration Office has a huge backlog. So from the moment you apply for Golden Visa, it takes about 2-3 years to actually obtain the residency permit. There are ways that you can still live in the country during that time, but the actual residency card will be issued 2-3 years from the moment you apply. Once you hit the 5 years from the day you submitted your applications for Golden Visa, you can actually start your naturalization process. And just like any naturalization process is basically the same process for all kinds of Golden Visa or any other immigration programs, it also takes about 12 to 18 months, and you have to pass the language exam in Portugal. But once all that completed, you can actually obtain a citizenship, which is EU passport, Portugal passport, which is pretty powerful passport in terms of visa-free travel and visa-free and visa-on-arrival travel. And you in South Africa know very well what it means to have a weak passport that you need a visa to travel anywhere. So that also a really nice benefit of Portugal passport.
All right, and you got to pass the language test. So you got to start learning Portuguese. The idea that you can just arrive, not bother to learn the language, that won't work.
Yeah, the language bar, like it's not the requirement is not very high. So I would say you would be able to get through the exam if you are able to spend 3-4 months learning the language. But you do have to put quite some effort.
All right. Has there been strong interest on your side in the program from Bitcoiners, people who may be thinking about investing in Bitcoin? But it's got to be fiat. You can't transfer existing Bitcoin into this fund. You've got to put in currency into an account in Portugal and then invest into the fund.
Exactly. So my whole audience are Bitcoiners. I don't advertise to Google. I don't advertise to fiat businessmans. My channels specifically target Bitcoiners because that's what I know, that's the audience I enjoy working with. So of course when this new opportunity showed up, a lot of my clientele were interested into that, and we're still working through all the little details. The fund just opened up and they're planning to raise 30 million, which means 60 Golden Visa applicants, and that's what we're doing right now, onboarding people, creating, obtaining their tax number in Portugal, creating their bank accounts, which also quite the process. So yeah, working through that.
So is there only room for 60 people?
Yeah, 60 people. It's quite the scarcity, right? But I also do understand that once this fund has been raised, I'm sure Unbound Fund will open up a second fund if there is more demand.
Are we likely to see other countries follow suit? Greece is another European country that's keen to attract migrants who've got the money to invest. What are your thoughts? What other countries might follow suit here?
I want to mention a book that I always recommend that's called Sovereign Individual. And they talk a lot about the end of nation states through this rise of capitalism relationship between nation states. So right now, when we're not attached to our jobs locally, we like to travel. The travel is easy these days. And we have this borderless money, beautiful decentralized network to support us no matter where we are. The nation states will have to compete for the citizens, for their capital, and the fruits of their labor. And that's what's happening right now. More jurisdictions realize that the citizens now can pick and choose the state services provider and like vote with their feet, right? That's what we say. So Portugal realized they can attract capital, they can incentivize people, specifically people in crypto, by offering them a really nice capital gain tax regime on crypto specifically. So that's been a theme within different jurisdictions. Right now, we're seeing the same in El Salvador. El Salvador is attracting a lot of Bitcoin people simply because they made Bitcoin a legal tender in a country. They said any tech company is not going to pay corporate income if they come and headquarter in El Salvador. They're really moving forward with all these beautiful policies to attract new citizens, new residents. And that's what I'm hoping to see. I hope to see this free market relationship between nation states to evolve in our world. And then, just like in every free market relationship, we will see two forces, the price race to the bottom and quality race to the top. And now, finally, we are able to incentivize the government to be better, because right now, they have monopoly over us. They don't have to care about the kind of service they provide and what kind of money. They dictate what they want, and we just have to obey. So as an immigrant myself, I've seen hyperinflations. I've seen my accounts being seized, which prepared me to be a Bitcoiner. Then I moved to America and I realized having a second citizenship, second residency, gives me optionality where I can pick and choose whichever one works better for me now. So now I hold the cards. I can pick and choose which state provides me with better services. And I really hope that more and more people start playing this game of jurisdictional arbitrage and force the nation states to be better.
Yeah, you just mentioned El Salvador. Just this week, they announced that they will no longer take on any external debt. That in addition to having Bitcoin as legal tender, they have completely reformed their whole financial regime. The idea being to strengthen the economy and attract investment. And also, by the way, having the second lowest murder rate in the world from, I think it was the second highest just a year or two ago.
Yeah, of course, El Salvador has this opportunity to implement changes quickly. The country only has 6 million people, so they operate as a startup instead of the corporations like United States, where there are so many levels, so much bribery involved in all the layers. So they just put those reforms out there and see the butterfly effect take place immediately. And that's why we see such a beautiful transformation in El Salvador over the last 4 years. I'm a huge fan. They're actually holding a Bitcoin conference in a couple of months. My whole family is planning to go, so I'm excited.
Okay, so it's clear you're a Bitcoiner yourself. How did you get started in this? Where are you from? You said you migrated to the United States. Tell us your story.
Yeah, I was born and raised in Russia, so I very much understand having a weak passport. I was a professional athlete. I was on a national team, and I constantly had my visas rejected. So every time I had to go to World Cup, I would have to start the process a couple months in advance because I knew that there's a huge chance of me not getting the visa, getting my visa denied, and I would have to reapply again. So that gave me a really nice perspective into what it is to have a strong travel document versus a weak travel document. Then when I was 21, I moved to the United States. And even at this point, I've already seen two hyperinflations in my lifetime. So understanding scarcity, understanding the money printer going brrr is like no-brainer for me. I've lived through that. So I was pretty much prepared to be a Bitcoiner. It was just a matter of time until I learned enough for it to click and be like, okay, this is the solution. So yeah, that's how I got here.
Right, and Plan B Passport, that is your company?
Yes.
You accept money in payment in fiat, or do you prefer it in Bitcoin?
Whatever the clients want to pay, I will take the money and I'll make sure I hodl.
All right, and you're in Texas, which of course is known to be very friendly for Bitcoiners. There's a lot of Bitcoin mining going on there.
Yeah, Austin, we call Austin is the Bitcoin capital of the world. We have companies like Unchained Capital headquartered here, a few more Bitcoin startups. We have the Pleb Lab, which is an accelerator program for Lightning companies. And there's just a beautiful community here. All my friends are Bitcoiners. All my girlfriends are Bitcoiners. So we're now having kids, and our kids are raised in a beautiful community where the principles of Bitcoin are transferred into all aspects of our life. The whole proof of work, the low time preference is transferred into every area of my life. And it's beautiful to have the tribe that is on the same page with you.
Fantastic. All right. Looking into the future, do you see Bitcoin as a kind of a passport in its own right to citizenship or residency in many different countries? You touched on that when you talked about nation states being potentially under threat with this new form of money.
One of the things that I always talk about is flag theory. My definition of flag theory is way of limiting your dependency on any one particular state by obtaining other flags, such as citizenship, residency. It's a security system. It's a security system for your physical security. Now, if you look at flag theory 30 years ago, it was mostly done for the sake of asset protection. So people would people with lots of zeros would set up a trust. The trust would have three legal entities in there. The legal entities would hold offshore bank accounts just to make sure that they have this way, like layers of legal protection from the government seizing their funds. Now we have the best asset protection mechanism there is, which is SHA-256 encryption. So Bitcoin is the biggest flag in the flag theory model. It definitely has changed the whole game of jurisdictional arbitrage, because you used to have to deal with immigration policies to make sure that you are legally in a country and you can operate in a country, start businesses, have jobs. But you also had to figure out how to transfer your capital from across the invisible line called border. Well, now we can transfer this any kind of capital across the border just by remembering 12 words. How easy is that? So Bitcoin definitely has changed the game of jurisdictional arbitrage. The governments are not at the point yet to realize that this asset is going to be the major asset that governments compete to have. But once they do, we will see more and more policies that specifically attract those holding Bitcoin. So that's what we're seeing in El Salvador right now. We will see it in different countries further on. And I hope it's not just my hopium, because that's where I operate. That's what I see. That's the trends I want to notice. But I am trying to be fair and see. Sometimes I'm bearish on the industry, not Bitcoin, the citizenship by investment and such. But overall, I think in the next 20 years, we will see the nation states starting to compete for our capital and bring that free market forward.
Right. And you mentioned the book, The Sovereign Individual. I guess that's the one by William Rees-Mogg and James Dale Davidson. I just had to look it up. Is that the book?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that goes into the rise of the information age. I'm just reading a blurb here. Of course, Bitcoin wasn't around at that time, but it does seem that they were anticipating that you would get this jurisdictional arbitrage.
Yeah, and they basically predicted Bitcoin too. They talk about the internet currency that will have no borders and people will not need a third party to hold it for them.
Yeah, that was the book that was written in 1999.
Yes.
Fantastic, Katie Ananina of Plan B Passport. We're going to leave it there. Thanks very much for that fascinating insight into your life, your move from Russia to United States, facilitated no doubt by your fascination with Bitcoin.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Kieran.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.